Joining us now in TTO is Senator, U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning to you, Senator.
How are you? Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. And again, with things that are going on, keeping the folks updated here in the local area, it's very important. And again, so we appreciate you taking time out to visit with us. You know, last we talked, we were talking about, finances. And, of course, we've got that big deadline here. And, you know, the president is talking about, you guys having to stay up there during the Christmas holidays. I hope you got your shopping done.
Well, I've got a wife and three daughters, and they're pretty good about helping me out. But we're here till we get finished, and there are a number of things that we've got to get done that have to do with the budgeting, and so it's important. And so we're working hard, and hopefully it'll get done latter part of this week or into next week.
Well, let's talk about that and where we stand right now. And, of course, the super committee, it seemed like, obviously they came out and just couldn't hammer anything out. How do you feel about that, and where are we working right now?
Well, I was really disappointed. I felt like the super committee at the last minute would come together and agree on something, but that wasn't the case. The cuts will go ahead and go forward through a process that was mandated by the law. I have real concerns that probably the cuts are too hard on the military. We need to look at the Medicare cuts, making sure that we're protecting providers. And so I think what will happen is that we'll see the $1.2 trillion in cuts for sure. I wouldn't be surprised, though, that in the next the next several months, because this really doesn't go into effect until 2013, you'll see a situation where we take and shuffle things around and perhaps reduce some of the cuts that are programmed and then do some cuts in some other areas. The good news is, though, that there will be $1.2 trillion in cuts. That's a start. It's something that we've got to do. Right now we're spending 37, 38 cents of every dollar that is spent is borrowed money. We all agree that's unsustainable. You can't run trillion-dollar deficits as far as the eye can see.
Well, Senator, I saw somebody, and I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, and I apologize for that, but on one of the Sunday morning news programs talking about that, they sort of called that first agreement the big lie, because they said, although you did have these major cuts, if you look at the overall package, there's still spending increases in that package. That spending actually goes up, even with those cuts.
I think that is true. A lot of when you look at the discretionary spending that goes on, there are real cuts to that. There's a portion of the budget that we as senators, we as congressmen, have the ability to, adjust. There's other things. There's the mandatory spending, the spending like Social Security, the spending like Medicare, retirements, the interest on the national debt, things like that. And as you have more and more people coming into Medicare, more and more people coming into Social Security, then that spending goes up. One of the things, though, that I think is so important, we've got to do a couple things. First of all, we're going to have a vote on the balanced budget amendment coming up this week. Mm-hmm. I don't think the votes will be there. I would pray that they were, because we need to get in a situation like Arkansas. And Arkansas under Governor Clinton, Governor Beebe, Governor Huckabee, all of those guys did a good job of holding the line on spending. A lot of that was that they were limited because of our Constitution. We need a national Constitution model, based on something like Arkansas, so that we can pull in the reins of the spending.
How about the people that are opponents to that? Because that just, that's common sense. I mean, that's what you have to do in your household if you own a business. How come there are people out there and those that are in Congress that just won't vote for that?
I don't understand the argument at all. President Obama says that we don't need a balanced budget amendment, that we can do it ourselves. Well, we haven't done it ourselves. Almost every state has gone to a balanced budget amendment because it is very difficult. Presidents come, congressmen come, senators come and go. it's very difficult to do that, I think, without the statutory language. The other thing is that if we pass it in the House and the Senate, that doesn't make it become law. It then has to go to the states, and the states have to ratify it. And so this allows the people, you know, to speak up. But I think if you polled this nationally, certainly if you polled in the state of Arkansas, it would come out overwhelmingly that the people of America feel like we need a balanced budget amendment.
But you're talking about to balance the budget. I mean, you're looking at almost a third of what's being spent being cut back. Is that right?
Yes, it's dramatic. And again, that's not going to happen overnight. You know, it's taken us decades to get in this situation. And so, again, we can't do it overnight. I would argue, too, that a little borrowing is okay. We do that in households. We do that in businesses. But it has to be at a sustainable level. Most people feel like around 3% of your gross domestic product or less is very manageable. But right now, again, 37, 38 cents of every dollar that we're spending being borrowed, trillion-dollar deficits, that just doesn't work.
Well, you know, it seems like there was another committee that was put together, a bipartisan committee, prior to this super committee, that actually came up with some good cutting ideas, or I say good cutting ideas, but ideas of where to cut the budget prior. And again, our internet service has been down, Senator. I'm sorry about that. So I don't have the name of that committee in front of me, and you may know what I'm talking about. But looking back, this bipartisan committee came up with some places to cut that they agreed upon that the super committee could not. And I've heard that that they looked back to that committee a little bit, and you know, some of those guys that were on that committee say, you know, maybe we can go back to that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. There's actually been a couple things. There was the Gang of Six, Republicans and Democrats that met. They came up with some good ideas. The president, President Obama, had a commission formed, the Simpson-Bowles Commission.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yes, sir. And, you know, actually tasked them, you know, to come up with some ideas. They came out. They were able to pass that. It was done in a very bipartisan way. You had a guy like Tom Coburn, who's a very, very conservative guy, and then Dick Durbin on the other side, who's a very liberal guy. But they came to agreement and said, you know, we've got to get something done. The president, you know, just basically set that aside. And so we've got to look at all of these things. We've got to look and see what the super committee did, because they did come up with some things that they reached agreement with. They couldn't reach total agreement, but we need to look at what they've done. We need to look at what these others have done and at least start acting on the things that there is some agreement. We have a great opportunity. Right now you have a terrible situation overseas in Europe, Greece, Portugal, Spain, now Italy, or potentially France. They've got real problems. So if we can get our fiscal house in order, and I believe that we can do that, then because we are such a world leader, we have the opportunity to be greater and stronger than ever, because people will flee to us for safety. On the other hand, if we don't get it done, then you know, these are simple truths. We'll wind up in the same condition that Europe is right now.
Well, what do you feel about the Senate right now? And again, where do we stand? And what do you foresee taking place here in the next month?
Well, I think that we'll go ahead. We've got to get these spending bills done. You know, sad, here we are into December. The federal government actually started in October, and we're still trying to figure out the budget for the year that's already started. And so that makes no sense at all. You know, you can't run a household that way. You can't run a business or any other entity. So we will get that done and then almost immediately start moving into the budget for the next year. But these are very important things. It's difficult right now in the sense that I would like to see a few more conservatives in the Senate, so that we are able to actually get have the votes to get some things done that I feel like would really benefit the country.
How does the European economy affect us and what you guys are doing right now, and again, working with our budget, if it affects it at all? But how does that affect us? And it seems like they got a deal hammered out the other day. What do you think about that and what's going on overseas?
Well, I'm very concerned about what's going on overseas. The problem that we have worldwide in our country and throughout Europe much of the world is that they're over leveraged. All of our countries have way too much debt. One of the concerns I have about the solution that the Europeans are coming up with is that their solution is even a great deal of more debt, leveraging tremendously more. The problem there is that eventually that bubble is going to burst, and the more leverage there is, the more debt there is, then the bigger the pop.
Yeah.
So, you know, the answer to that is what they're trying to do right now is getting their spending in order. We have to get our spending in order. But the banks in Europe, the banks in the United States, they're entwined. It will affect us. Right now, I think that Europe for sure will go into recession. As they go into recession, that could pull us down. And our economy, as we all know, you know, for your listeners that are, you know, small businesses in particular and stuff, it's very, very difficult in the economy right now. And so it's just another example of how we've got to get our spending under control. If we'll do that, as I said earlier, I think we've got a great opportunity to make our country stronger than ever.
Well, switching to foreign affairs, and of course we were talking a little bit about that just now as far as the economy, but I watched Brian Williams on NBC last night, Ted Koppel joining the program there, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but it was a program and he was talking about us withdrawing our troops out of Iraq and, you know, the concerns of Iran and their influence right now as they are becoming kind of, you know, sort of buddy-buddy, or at least softening their ties with Iraq at the moment and their influence over the oil there and what that might mean to us in the future. Can you give us kind of an idea of the Middle East and what's going on there as far as what work is going on in the Senate and what your concerns are?
Well, there's so much going on in the Middle East right now. You have the, the situation of the tremendous turmoil that's gone on in Egypt and really throughout the Middle East. Right now, Syria is almost in civil war.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, Libya, you know, the turnover there.
Right.
The question is, what kind of regimes will replace those? The hope is that they will be, somewhat of a democratic form of government where the people are involved, that they won't drift towards this Islamic extremism that we've seen in some countries. Right now, Iraq is pretty stable, and we can be very, very proud of that. The men and women that have served there have done a tremendous job. Our diplomats have done a good job. And so, again, as we come home, we can be proud that they are stable. And I think they've got a great, great chance because of the fact that their armed services are manned now, their police force, very, very professional, that they've got a chance to survive. Iran is on the verge of going nuclear. If they are allowed to go nuclear, then you'll have a situation where Saudi Arabia, and I've been in these countries listening to these folks, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Egypt, all of those countries will go nuclear because they're scared to death of the Persians and have been for centuries. So you can imagine if you had nuclear proliferation in the Middle East. The other problem with them going nuclear is that they said, and if you listen to what they say and believe it, and they're not crazy, but they are extremist. They've said they want to develop a bomb. The first thing they're going to do is blow Israel off the face of the map.
Yeah.
And then deal with us in Europe. So it's a very, very serious situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like the word, use the word crazy with some of those guys out there. Well, let's talk about some other topics, Senator. What else is going on in Washington outside the budget issues, which I'm sure is the main focus at the moment? Are there other focuses?
Well, I think the budget, you know, right now is kind of overriding everything.
Yeah.
That's really the main thing. Certainly jobs, you know, trying to figure out how we can be helpful in that area. The reality, though, is that I think that the way that you help with jobs is lessening regulation. The administration is put, and don't misunderstand, we need regulation.
Sure.
But we need it based on common sense. We need it based on science. The amount of regulation is really stifling business. Obamacare, not knowing what the cost of their health insurance is going to be in the future. All of these things, energy, right now prices are down because the economy's down. When it picks back up, then gasoline prices will pick back up, and all of these things really do put a big wet blanket over the economy.
How about Christmas time? I mean, I know that you expect to get home for Christmas, or are you going to be in Washington? And what are your plans?
I hope so. You know, we're going to. I will eventually. And this is such a very special time of the year as we, you know, Thanksgiving, when we can reflect there. I was at one of the things at our national cemetery in Fort Smith. I've got several relatives, grandparents, parents, aunts and uncles buried there, and you know, reflecting on the sacrifice there, and then certainly, you know, Christmas, the very special time that we reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. So it really is just a very, very special time of the year. And yeah, so I'll be home. I've got a wife and three daughters. They're all grown. But it's something I'm looking forward to. Another thing you mentioned earlier about what's going on in this Keystone Pipeline, you know, trying to get that done. And that's important to Arkansas. Much of that pipe will be built in Little Rock. In fact, they were talking about laying off a couple hundred people there last week as a result of it not going forward. It makes absolutely no sense not to do this. Canada is one of our staunchest allies. And spending money there, much of that money will come back into the United States. We won't be spending it overseas for oil with people like Saudi Arabia and Venezuela, who don't like us very much. The pipeline itself has been studied to death. We've got pipelines running all across the country. So there's no environmental problem that way. It just makes absolutely no sense to not do that, except for the fact of pandering to radical environmentalism. You talk about shovel-ready jobs. They're there. And then, two, once the pipeline is built, the increase in refinery capacity would allow such that we would have many more jobs that would be sustainable, you know, indefinitely. So those are the kind of things that we've got to push back and get done, and that will help our country a great deal as far as its energy and not being as dependent on foreign oil.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, the Alaska pipeline, when they were building that, one of the big keys was the environmental effect. How is it going to affect the animals that live in the area? And come to find out that many of the elk or caribou or whatever that's in that area actually hang around the pipeline. They've actually proliferated a little bit because they enjoy the warmth of it. So.
No, you're exactly right. And the herds of increase significantly. They calve in that area because of the warmth and stuff. And so, yeah, you know, we can do these things. You know, we can do them in an environmentally sensitive way, and they need to be done that way. But we have to use common sense, and we have to use science and take the emotion out of these things.
Well, let me ask you one more question. Let's talk about the presidential race. We've got, of course, the Iowa caucus, which is coming up here in just a few weeks. What are your thoughts on the race right now? And, you know, there's some talk about you got some of your leaders, some of the prominent Republicans there that they're sort of hammering at each other pretty hard. And there's some worries about, as far as the Republican Party goes, them hurting themselves in the long run, just trying to become the front runner.
Well, this thing has really been, you know, stranger than fiction. You know, you've had front runner after front runner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it settles out. I don't think, to be honest, that it really hurts the party in the sense that a good, tough primary makes it where these guys, whoever emerges, is going to be battle-hardened. They're going to be well-organized in order to get the nomination throughout the country. And so in that aspect, I think it's actually good. But I don't think anybody knows right now what's going to happen. And yet here it is, you know, in really just a matter of a few weeks, the votes will start, you know, going forward. So it's an interesting time. I've, you know, kind of stayed on the sidelines and not really supported a candidate. So, again, you know, it's just an interesting time for us to watch. But, you know, it'll work itself out.
At some point, Senator, will you voice an opinion as far as who you might who you personally would endorse?
I think, you know, there might be a time in the future that I might do that. But right now, again, I've elected just to kind of sit and watch and listen really to all of them. You know, I've met at different meetings and stuff, trying to get to know them, you know, as we try and determine who would be best to lead the country.
Yeah.
We need a strong candidate, I believe, somebody that can, you know, do a tremendous job in running the country. Right now we have a vacuum of leadership, and it will be so important, you know, that we get a good, strong leader to face the problems that we're facing.
All right, Senator, I just want to give you one opportunity to, I know, wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Well, very much so. And again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year during this very, very special time of the year. Those of you that have loved ones that are serving in the military, a special shout out to you all, and we appreciate the service of the loved one. And again, I know how difficult it is when mom or dad is gone for extended periods of time. So just Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
All right, Senator. Well, if we don't talk to you before then, hope you have a Merry Christmas. And as always, appreciate you coming on the program and visiting with your constituents here and our listeners.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Senator John Bozeman, U.S. Senator, and visiting with us from Washington. You're listening to TTO on this Tuesday morning.